Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Thought Girl Summer. And we have a special guest today who's going to tell the first tale, a double tale, of Thought Girl Summer, Thought Girl Summerdom, pure thottery, from a couple of perspectives. And she has some interesting tales because, as you guys know, we are going to count all the way down to Labor Day when these thoughts go through labor pains of having getting ran through for the whole summer. But there are some dudes out here who are doing some thought-like behavior because they're so bitch-made. So, Bird Girl, talk to us. Tell us what the hell is going on. Let us know.
Solo, which one do you want me to start with?
Oh, man, they're both pretty terrible.
When you're talking about the other one, you're talking about my friend that I had to pick up in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah. So we got that one. Wait, you know what? We can actually, I'll tell you what. Because I want to do something special with this and also let women know that there are male thoughts. So a male thought is basically a dude who's doing fuck shit and lying about it. So you also have a funeral home story. So I think we can actually have a triple header. We're going to give you guys something special tonight. We're going to give you airtight. You guys are going airtight tonight. All tree holes, right? So go ahead, get your lube. Lube yourselves up and get ready for the ride. Go ahead and take this fucking fist in every hole. So, Bird Girl, take us away.
So, should we start with Candy?
Let's start with Candy.
Let's start with Candy. We'll start with Candy. Okay. So, I had a friend of mine. He was a bartender at a club that no longer exists in Minneapolis. It was burned down last summer. And I get a phone call. It's like, I don't know, 3:30 in the morning from him. And I thought, oh, whatever. I'm that person that answers my phone in the middle of the night because I'm a good friend. And I answer and he says, you know, he's going on. He says, I need a ride. I'm in St. Paul. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, and he sounds desperate. Give me the address and I'll come and get you. And he's like, this is the address. Just hurry up. I really need someone to come and get me. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm sure he's at a girl's house, whatever. I'll get dressed. I'll go and get him. So I'm driving. I find the house. You know, I'm driving slowly down the street. Okay, there it is. And I see him and I kind of pull up and I pull just a little bit past the house. And he comes running out of the house, gets in the car, slams the door, and he's kind of looking behind him out of the back window. He's like, okay, go. And I can see this girl. So I come out of the house after him, and she's standing on the front porch. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, he's at a girl's house. Whatever, it didn't go that well. I'm taking him home, and he starts to tell me that he was at work bartending, and there was this girl there. He goes, oh, you know, she's beautiful. She's really attractive. She's kind of tall, got big boobs and curves and, you know, whatever. She's got the high heels on and the makeup and her hair is done. And, you know, he does the whole, I get off work at what, 2:30. He doesn't have a car. She doesn't have a car. So they get a cab and she does, you know, she says, oh, we can go back to my place. And he says they were in the cab and he goes, yeah, you know, I started to feel her up and she got kind of tense and I was touching her leg and she kind of grabbed my hand and whatever. And we get back to her house and we start kissing and I start to kind of touch her again and I feel up her leg and she grabs my hand again and she kind of backs off and I'm trying to figure out what's going on because she invited me to her house. Clearly she wants it, right? But every time I get close to her crotchal region, that's when things get a little tense. And then that's when she lays it on him. Oh, by the way, I have a dick. And her name is Candy. And he said when she told him, you know, she started to tell him. And he flipped out. He's like, no, this is not what I'm here for. I came home with a girl. You're not a girl. I don't know what I'm doing here. And that's when he called me to come and get him. And he said, then she became really desperate and was grabbing him and saying, no, you can do whatever you want to me. I promise. Just don't leave. And that, you know, so whatever. It was just, I guess I don't know why he waited inside of her house. That was the weird thing. But I went to pick him up, and then she was calling him. And I said, and I asked him, I was like, oh, so, you know, one, she knows where you work. She can come and find you because you're going to be back bartending at this club tonight. What's her real name? He's like, I don't know. And she's calling him and calling him, and he says, just answer and tell her you're my girlfriend. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I answer. Turns out Candy's name is actually Candy, though. So it was a dude. And I was like, didn't she have, you know, an Adam's apple? Didn't she have big hands? Like, he didn't notice anything about the hands. He says, it was dark in there. I didn't notice. Like, had you been drinking? He said, no. I was like, did you just want it so bad that this girl came up and gave you attention and you went home with a stranger and it wasn't, it turned out to be a guy? And he admitted that, yes, that was the case. So, I don't know. He was a good looking guy. And I was like, there's girls everywhere. Why the first one that looked at you? That you served a drink to, but I told him, that's what you get for going home with strangers. It's that stranger danger. I don't know.
Oh, when you're talking to your friend, what was the psychological damage that was done?
Oh, he was just in a state of distress. And he said, he was in the car kind of rocking back and forth, like holding his head. And he kept saying, I need to fuck a real girl. But you didn't even do anything with the guy. I mean, you kind of touched him a little bit, but that was it. At least you didn't go terribly far. I don't know. But he was wigged out.
I mean, he didn't have what happened to me, right? He didn't go through 11 months of ED.
Not that I know of. I mean, I just laughed at him. I told him I would never let him live it down. Everyone, so I just like, how's Candy? Because she kept calling him, and he said, "I'm gonna." He was like, "If I ever, I'm gonna kick his ass if I ever see him." I thought, well, you might see him again.
Damn, poor guy. Right. So, how's this guy managing now? Is he okay? Is he like, is he good?
No, I think he's fine now. He had a girlfriend for a while, you know.
Did he check? Always finger check. We finger check for a different reason, but I'm assuming he has to now hand check, right?
Yeah, I think he has to just do a full grab.
Yeah. We used to always have to, you know, ever since middle school, we always talked about finger checking. Because, you know, you wanted to make sure that, you know, you didn't end up at a damn fish market wherever you were. So I'm glad that this guy is now hand checking to make sure that not only do you not want to know whether or not the chick takes care of her hygiene downtown, you got to make sure it's a chick to begin with and not. I mean, you know what? One of the sad things about your story is that deep down, I kind of know with a lot of the Latina trannies. I bet you it was probably some like uncircumcised, hairy fucking schlong, which would have been it would have been like really traumatic, because if you had a clean shaven schlong, it's like, it's traumatic, but not that bad. It's just still like, oh God, I didn't want to see that. But damn though. Ugh. Poor guy.
I mean, I don't know what's worse. I think the worst part was when he tried to leave, she grabbed him. And begged him not to go and say, you can do anything you want to me. I mean, he said she was so adamant about that. I'm like, well, God, I mean, is she not getting it? Really? Why the desperation?
Look, I'm assuming a lot of trannies have to stop at that exact point. The whole, you know, I have a penis part. And I think that's where a lot of dudes are kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a no, right? So in order to get a guy to say yes, you have to, like, there are dudes out there, whether they're high or drunk or just that thirsty or they just don't care, that if you tell them you can do anything you want, the guy's like, well, I mean, yeah.
True. Yeah.
But I mean,
she lured him into her home, which, like I told him, stranger danger is a real thing. don't go home with, you know, girls or girls in quotes that you don't know.
Yeah, that's brutal. But you know, as bad as it is to be a modern man to experience almost smashing candy. Candy is not the worst thing that's happened to a dude in recent memory in your life, because as we know, Bird Girl, you happen to stumble into some degenerate fuckery that happened to be at a house.
Oh, the estate that I'm cleaning out that I spend my entire weekend on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could have worse weekends spent, but I'm assuming this one this one gave you some haunting memories, did it not?
Oh, well, yeah. So there's this house that I have to get it ready to go on the market. It's an estate. He died. I think he died in his bed because it was stained and smelled of stale urine and had dry body fluids all over it. I go in the house, like looking around, and okay, there's the Bible quotes and stuff like on the walls. He's got his Bible out on the desk. Everything's really organized. He was an older guy. I think he was in his 60s. And you just look at everything like, oh, he seems like a real straight shooter, just family man. He has kids, churchgoer, whatever. I'm working my way through the house, cleaning everything up. And so generally what we do is we donate everything that we can donate, and then, you know, we trash the rest. But start in the living room, work my way through the kitchen. I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate. I think he had cancer. And you start to feel bad for the person. You're like, oh, man, that really sucks for the family. And I get into the bedroom, and, you know, and the family had been there, and what, and they said they took everything of value. I'm like, okay, well, it doesn't look like they really went through anything. And I had kind of been through the house once with my mom, and we sort of, I don't know, just kind of glanced around, went through a few things, whatever. Like, yeah, there's really nothing here. Get to the bedroom, open the closet, start to bag up his clothes to take him to drop him at Goodwill, whatever. And I mean, they're not hidden. They're not behind anything. There's nothing on top of them. Just right there in the middle of the closet floor, there's two medium-sized cardboard boxes. I'm like, okay. Everything else I opened up, it was documents, papers, cards from family members with, you know, like some animals on it or baby Jesus or something. And oh, I, you know, may the Lord keep you in his whatever, whatever, get better. We love you. That kind of stuff. You know, pictures of his kids. I found his old stack of his old driver's license. So you see what the person looks like. All these pictures, you're like, oh yeah, this is what the guy looks like. Just looks like a normal dude. And I open the box, and right there staring back at me is, you've got she-mail. Like, what? And right next to it is America's Top Tranny. I was like, oh, I found his porn stash. And I started doing my look, and I was like, God, you know, those women look a lot like men. And I go, I was like, oh, well, America, you know, she-mail Top Tranny is like, oh, he's into transgender porn. And then there's, I can't remember the guy's name. I have a picture of it. You know, so-and-so's only gay film. And then there's John a bunch Holmes. Of VHS tapes with dudes on the front, and all the gay porn came on. I was like, God. And all the VHS tapes and the home videos, and I'm sitting there going through it and laughing at it. There were some other ones. I sent you pictures of them. There were some good ones.
What were the best names that you remember? There were
some good, Bang My Juice Box with three X's. I think that one and You've Got She-Mail have to be the best. But and it says, yeah, the cover of the video is some woman in a skirt and high heels, and she's pulling her thong aside, and there's this huge wang hanging out. I'm just like, oh my God, whatever. But yeah, I go through the other box. I'm like, it's the same shit. He even has the invoice in the box from when he ordered them online. I'm like, okay, whatever. Box them up, put them out in the garage to put them in the garbage. Oh, and by the way, then I told my friend about it. And he goes, was there anything decent in there? I thought he was going to be appalled. And he goes, was there anything decent in there? I was like, no. I mean, unless you're in the bed, no. Yeah.
when it comes to this, I mean, were the videos stuck together?
Huh? No.
I mean, the fans want details. Stuck. I mean, were the videos stuck together? Where, I mean, were they he on like unlabeled?
He had written like these little post-it notes and put them on some of them and said, two dicks and da booty. And then he had a list of all the videos that he wanted to order. So he had like, you know, a porn wish list. And then the serial numbers for them. So he could go online, I'm sure, and order them by the serial number.
Oh, shit, man. So, of all the things, what was the most shocking thing to you about this Bible thumper?
Well, the Polaroids that I found of him shit. And some other guy. Because then I went through the dresser and I was like, oh, fuck. You know, and it's the same thing. More envelopes, more Bible quotes. Get well cards, whatever, from family members. And then there's a little manila envelope. And I open it up. I'm like, oh, fuck me. And it's right there. And it had whoever the guy he was with. And I found a Polaroid camera. I was like, God, and a whole thing of film canisters. I'm like, I don't even want to know what's on these. Straight in the trash. But it's this guy that he's with, on his back, taking a picture of this guy sucking his dick, looking straight into the camera. I'm like, and there's a whole stack of them in there.
Well, at least the guy was a top, though. I mean, if you had to be, if you're out there, I guess the worst thing you could be is a bottom, but at least the guy's a top. I mean, that's like one caveat, I'm assuming.
But it was all in the DL. I'm like, you walk in and everything about his life, you know, on the outside, he's one person. And then on the inside, you're like, well, who the fuck is Bruce? Oh, probably the guy taking the pictures. I don't know.
Oh. God damn. So what is your take on just a lot of this as you hear about these religious types claiming to be religious, they're usually self-righteous, right?
If they're not, would you like I asked you, I said, would Jesus wash bang my juice box? I don't think so.
I mean it is horrible. And you did tell me, actually, you know, you actually have an extra story, a fun tidbit. I'm going to make a mental note right before you tell your third story.
Sorry, I'm not a good storyteller.
We have a Drexology reigns supreme yet again story. But you still have one more story to tell us that involves a funeral home.
It will. Side note, his family, they've been such pricks because I put stuff out on the curb for people to drive by and take, and they flipped out and said that a kid could ride by it on a bicycle, and if they ran into one of the chairs, they could be sued. And I was like, okay, get over yourselves. And they were, I mean, oh my God, the brother was such a fucking prick. So there were these speakers in the basement that they wanted. And my mom said, you know what? You bring those speakers over to their house and you deliver those videos and Polaroids with them. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I laid the Polaroids out on top of the videos. And I brought it over to their house and just set it down right there for the brother. He was standing there and I just drove away. Like, have fun with that. That's who your brother really was. But funeral home story. This girl that I went to high school with, her older sister was dating a guy, whatever, she had a boyfriend, and she wasn't feeling good, she had a sore throat, she thought it was strep, so she went to the doctor, and they're like, yeah, we'll do a throat culture, and they called her, you know, the sore throat wouldn't go away, and they called her, and the results had come back, and they said, well, you don't have strep throat. And she's, you know, she was wondering, she's like, well, why did it take so long to get the results back? That's longer than normal. And the doctor said, yeah, we couldn't figure out what it was. So they had to send it wherever to do some more detailed analysis on it. They said, you have a bacterial infection in your throat. But the odd thing is it's bacteria that's only found on decomposing corpses. And she was like, what? This doesn't even make any sense. And the doctor said, you know, do you have any idea how you may have been exposed to this. And she thought of him, she's like, well, my boyfriend does work. He works at a morgue. He was like, you know, just kind of, you know, that moment of when my friend was telling me about it, that moment of silence, and you think about it and it dawns on you, oh my God, because she's been sucking his dick and he's been fucking these dead bodies because he's a necrophiliac. So and then she got into whatever the bacteria got into her throat, and the doctor was like, what the fuck? So she ended up actually making a police report and he got arrested.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is a crime.
Yeah, it is a crime.
Yeah. We haven't heard about that since Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what's the punishment for that?
I don't even know. I mean, who cares what the punishment is? How do you get that shit out of your body?
Oh, man. I mean, did she have any, like, did she have psychological damage after the fact? Like, knowing that she was going down on her boyfriend who was into, you know, people that aren't living anymore.
She didn't date for a long time. She just kind of kept to herself. Cause, I mean, I'm sure that would be traumatizing. That would be more traumatizing than finding out your siblings into, you know, whatever, transgender porn, or you know that candy is actually candy though. But all you did was you didn't do anything. I mean, like you actually did something with this. Pretty like, oh God, that's just a whole nother level of fucked up.
I have no words because, you know, here's the thing. You and I have talked about this. One of the reasons why men and some women now are checking out the dating market is because you just don't know people because they always have to be crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's always something. Like it's like you can't just be normal anymore with normal interests. You can have a kink or two. You can even have a little bit of degeneracy running through your veins. But as long as when you start doing something that's illegal, I think we have a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Like the little boy from The Sixth Sense, I like dead people.
yeah. This lunacy that's going on that you just don't know. And that's how you end up with thought behavior because you think, and you know, we talk about this, the bait and switch. There are dudes out there who believe they got themselves something that's quality, or even women who believe they got themselves a quality mate. And then you find out they're fucking corpses, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, damn. But you to send you out of here, you did say that Drexology has proved supreme once again, because there is a myth that needs to be dispelled. There is no Santa Claus. There is no Easter Bunny. And there definitely are no such thing as lesbians. Okay. They don't exist. So you actually came to me to tell me about a little story, and we'll let you out with your little story because it's short and sweet. And could you go ahead and just let everyone know how right I was and always am?
Oh, that my friend who's a guy was dating a girl. He's a girlfriend who was also into girls. And he said they were going out to, I think, the gay 90s. And she brought along a friend of hers who's a girl. This is a lesbian. She's only into girls, whatever. And that girl ended up at the club meeting another gay woman who said, you know, she's only into girls, whatever. Well, no one, so my friend was the only one that had a cell phone on him. And in order to get that girl's number, they said, okay, give it to him. And then, you know, you two can connect, and that's how, like, through him, through my friend, the two girls would be able to get each other's phone numbers. Two girls that are both only into girls.
Allegedly.
Sure, allegedly, air quotes. And so he said she called him, and he assumed it was to get the other girl's number. He's like, hey, yeah, I can, you know, I'll give you her phone number, whatever. And then he said, you want to go out? She's like, yeah, okay. He said he went, picked her up on his motorcycle. They went out. He said they hooked up. He said they messed around for a little while. And then that was that. He was like, damn, she never even got with the girl. But I was sitting there when he told me that, and it was just the other week that he told me. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I've heard of this happening, I guess, but I do have It reminded me of you. I thought you would appreciate that.
Of course I do. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Because you, for all you people listening, a lot of lesbians, this is well known in the lesbian community, by the way. You can actually go ask chicks that are out here carpet munching if this is true. A lot of lesbians are on dating sites looking for the D on the down low, right? This is well known. Now, for everyone listening, what you will know is this is not true the other way around. There, you will never hear a bunch of gay men looking for relations with women. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. It only works the other way around. So, yes, these chicks are out here thotting. These dudes are out here thotting, looking for, you know, all types of random degenerate shit. But Burr Girl, we thank you for coming in and setting this thing off right. With you're just easing in the tip as you go in and do that triple penetration, quadruple penetration with all these stories. So we appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. I'll let you know when I have more. I'm sure the stories will just get better from here on out. Not with me, with you, with whatever stories you're going to share. And hopefully they're better storytellers than I.
Oh, just wait. Damn. You won't even believe this. I forgot to tell Mama Vic. I promised her I would tell her every time we were recording. Oops. But when this one comes out, I will be the first to let her know that it's out so that she can hear this tomfoolery. And you know what? I thank you yet again, because there are people that need to hear these stories to realize that what's going on out there is everywhere. We thank you for coming on. And everybody, Brawley, you can cut the recorder. We can head to the, I guess we can just go, live Q&A, right? Or general. I guess we can go general, because Nick's show starts in 30 minutes. So we have about 30 minutes to dick around everybody before Nick's show. Bird Girl, if you want to come in and listen to Degeneracy, you can. If not, you can go ahead and do whatever it is you do on a Monday night, which is probably deal with something that involves birds, hence your name.